The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Good morning. The scripture reading this morning is Hebrews 13. We'll be reading verses 20 through 25. Hebrews 13:20. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I appeal to you, brothers, bear with my word of exhortation, for I've written to you briefly. You should know that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom I shall see you if he comes soon. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who come from Italy send you greetings. Grace be with all of you. This is God's word.
Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning. It's great to be here with you this morning. Thank you for being here. My name's Chad. I'm one of the pastors here. When asked as a child what I wanted to be when I grew up, I would always say, a firefighter. I was certain that was my purpose in life. I could imagine myself speeding down the road, sirens blaring, and running into burning buildings and heroically carrying people out. In fact, one year, for a Christmas gift, I received a fire truck. That gift was like 40 years ago. Yet still today, it remains in the top five of my favorite Christmas gifts ever. And I am grateful for our first responders, and I do consider them heroes. Ultimately, however, that was not my purpose. I've had many other dreams and ideas and pursued other opportunities in life to find my purpose. Some things, even good things, were wrongly identified as my defining purpose or my ultimate purpose. We do that, though, don't we? Big moments occur in life, and we wrongly identify them as purpose-defining moments. Maybe like me, you've had those big moments occur, and you got married, or became a parent, or landed that ultimate job, or got the good grade. But something still seemed to be missing. And you thought, well, maybe it's the next job or the next raise or the next achievement. Now I'll know my purpose. I know. Maybe my purpose is to be retired. Here's the problem with that kind of thinking. Unless and until we see our overarching purpose in life, something is always going to be missing. We need to see all things in light of our ultimate purpose. So as we come to the end of the book of Hebrews, the author is giving us a benediction, which is usually a short prayer or blessing at the end of a service, usually has encouragement or exhortation or gives us guidance. Excuse me. And we've seen throughout the book of Hebrews, Jesus is prophet, priest, and king. He is the Word of God. He is the Good Shepherd, the Lord of Lords, and King of Kings. And we've also seen that salvation comes through nothing else other than by placing faith, hope, and trust in Jesus. I think what we're going to see today as we explore Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21, is that the author of Hebrews is connecting our ultimate purpose back to Jesus himself, so that we find our purpose in God's pleasure and glory. So let's pray, and we'll jump in. Heavenly Father, we are just thankful for your word. We are thankful that we've been able to see and learn more about Jesus throughout Hebrews. Help us today as we finish the book, see with clarity the purpose that you have for our lives. God, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us this morning. And I ask that your name be glorified and praised this morning here in this building, as well as churches throughout the world. For God, you alone are worthy. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So firstly, we find our purpose in Jesus, our great shepherd. Let's read verse 20 of Hebrews 13. So now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant. As Paul said in his sermon last week, and as we've seen throughout the book of Hebrews, Jesus is the greater and better. He is greater than any purpose I could ever imagine for myself. He's greater than any man that came before him. He is better than any sacrifice that was made before him. He is the great shepherd. And shepherds have three important functions: to lead, feed, and protect the sheep. In this case, of course, we are the sheep, that is the church or God's people. Spurgeon highlights the beauty of tracing individual attributes of shepherds throughout the Old Testament to identify Christ as the greater and better shepherd. So in the Old Testament, we saw that Abel was the witnessing shepherd and Abraham was the separating shepherd. Isaac was the quiet shepherd. Jacob, the shepherd who is surety or security for the sheep. Joseph, the shepherd that is head over Egypt for the sake of Israel. Moses was the chosen shepherd. And David, the shepherd of God's people. All of these together enable us to see the very glories of the individual shepherds complete in the great shepherd of the sheep, Jesus. And it's interesting to note that in scriptures we don't see Jesus identified as the great shepherd until his death and resurrection in scripture. Prior to that, he was identified in scripture as the good shepherd. He became the great shepherd by perfectly fulfilling the law, living a perfect life without sin, and dying in our place and taking our sin upon himself, and setting Christianity apart from every other religion by defeating death through his resurrection. Have you ever wondered why we need a shepherd? It's entertaining to me to observe some of the characteristics of sheep, at least until I see some of those characteristics in myself. But a few of them are they tend to stray. They are stubborn and demanding, which hits a little close to home. Just ask my wife, Cody. For clarity, this is about me, not her. Before I get myself in trouble. They are followers. Where one goes, the rest follow, even if it's into danger. Some of us probably remember as kids when mom said, well, if Billy went and jumped off a bridge, would you go too? Sheep are like, yep, sign me up. Let's go. A study was conducted by Robert Cialdini and a team of psychologists in which they asked 800 Californians how important the following factors were in shaping their decision to conserve energy. And it could be, it saves money, it protects the environment, it benefits society, or a lot of other people are doing it. Overwhelmingly, the response at 77% was, everybody else is doing it. The next closest response was 29%. As humans, we tend to do that. We stray and we follow the herd for good or for bad. Paul Miller explains in his book, A Praying Life, why we need a shepherd. The modern quest for self-fulfillment, which could also be said as searching for our purpose, is a secularized version of Christianity's discovery of the self. Without the shepherd guiding us to see our true selves in relationship to him, we can lose our way and become obsessed with self. Instead of seeing our bent toward evil, we can become increasingly touchy, super sensitive to self, but insensitive to others. We no longer see ourselves clearly. The spiritual pilgrimage is the opposite. The discovery of self in relation to God leads to a lifestyle of repentance. And repentance simply means to turn around, to do a 180. We're going one direction, we stop and turn back and go the other direction. And that may be the first step that some of us need to take today in discovering our purpose. To turn around, to accept the gift that Jesus offers to us. That is to turn back from following the herd that chases after themselves, trying to do life on their own. And he invites us to turn from doing it our own way, to turn to Him to find safety, trust, and hope. The Bible tells us that we can do that right now. In fact, it cautions us not to wait, but to act immediately. We can accept the gift of Jesus' death and resurrection and forgiveness for our sins, even in the heart and confessing with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. And you can do that right now, right where you are, by simply praying a silent prayer. You can pray something like, God, I am so tired of trying to do this on my own. I want to trust in You. Help me, God, have faith in You. I accept You, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Or you can find a pastor or a leader after the service and have a conversation with them and ask them to pray with you. Or you can fill out the communication card and ask for a deeper conversation with one of what that might look like in your life. For others of us, as sheep tend to do occasionally, we've strayed as well. And we need to repent and turn back to our great shepherd. Thank God that His mercies are new daily, and He always, always welcomes us back. So we find our purpose in God's pleasure and glory, and we saw that we find our purpose in Jesus, our great shepherd, and we find our purpose by doing the will of God. Let's read verses 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of this sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So God saves us through Jesus, not just from something, but for something. He saved us through Jesus from eternal separation from Himself, and He saved us to partner with Him to accomplish His will. Listen to that again. We get to not only know, but to participate in the will of God. This makes my childhood dreams of becoming a fireman or our explorations of trying to find a purpose for our lives seem minuscule, relatively. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So not only does God reveal to us His will to us, He gives us the ability to understand it through testing and discernment. We're not called to blindly follow God or to turn off our intellect when we make a decision for Jesus. He welcomes us to explore, to think, and to learn what is good and acceptable and perfect, and then and join Him in His will. We discern God's will through our engagement with Scripture, by reading and studying and memorizing and meditating, and ultimately by obeying them. We're not to do these things like other spiritual disciplines as just good things to check off a list or to earn favor with God, which we cannot do on our own. But they are the means with which that we get to know God more deeply and we get to grow into a deeper relationship with Him. As we have seen throughout Hebrews, God has revealed that His will for us is to trust and follow Jesus until the end. How cool and exciting is that? So I have four boys, ranging from 2 to 20 years old. And it is so much fun for me when I'm working around the house on projects, when some of the younger ones want to be involved and help Dad work. And they love to be in the mix, and they walk around the house more confidently and full of joy and say things like, Dad, I love working with you. Sometimes it creates more work for me, and sometimes it makes the projects take a little bit longer. But how amazing is it and how fun is it for me that I get to create these experiences that will last for years? Now, granted, even as messed up and broken as I am and even with the mistakes I will make and the bad habits I will undoubtedly instill into my sons, I want them to follow me until the end, until they are grown and mature. How much more incredible is it that our perfect Father wants the same of us? We get to help our heavenly Dad do His work. Wherever you are exactly where our sovereign God intends you to be so that you can fulfill your purpose. And our purpose begins in what God has created us to be: a man, woman, husband, a wife, father, mother, mechanic, doctor, teacher, or even a first responder. In whatever role God has placed us in, He wants to use us exactly where we are for His glory through Jesus. And these roles and activities are important, but if we look back kind of where we started, they are not our ultimate purpose. God's ultimate purpose, again, for us is to follow Jesus until the end, and He will use us in these environments to follow Jesus and live as witnesses in word and deed. Colossians encourages us in chapter 3, verse 17, "In whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Similarly to the projects around my house, I imagine that it takes much longer and it's a whole lot more messier than if God just did the work on His own. But He is creating experiences within us that we get to see our perfect Father work that will last for eternity, for His pleasure and His glory. So we find our purpose in God's pleasure and glory. First, we saw that we find our purpose in Jesus, our great shepherd. Second, we found our purpose by doing the will of God. And third, we find our purpose through Jesus as God equips us and works in us. Let's look back at verses 20 and 21. "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." While it is so amazing that God invites us to do His will, it can be absolutely frightening or overwhelming if we try to do it on our own. Thankfully, though, God does not call us to do His will and then just leave us alone. He equips us and works in us through His Holy Spirit. So our great shepherd sets the example for us. He guides and leads us, and He gives us assistance, knowing that we cannot do it on our own. Listen to what Jesus Himself says in Matthew 11, verses 25 to 30. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." A yoke was a wooden beam that was used to connect a couple of animals to share the burden of the work, so one animal wasn't trying to do all the work on their own. And a couple or more animals can be linked together to make the burden lighter. And Jesus is inviting us to lean on Him. We do not, and in fact we cannot, do this on our own, nor were we intended to. What God calls us to, He provides for, and He gives us the strength to accomplish it. What encouragement is that? We don't have to be overwhelmed or worried about letting God down or fail to accomplish His will. We just need to continue to be faithful, to show up, and even just be willing to be used by Jesus. He will give us everything else that we need to accomplish His will through us. God equips us through the Holy Spirit, through His Word, through spiritual disciplines, and through living in community. Knowing that we are saved by Jesus should cause us to respond in worship. Knowing that we are called and enabled by God should empower us. So I wonder what our next best step is. As we talked about earlier, your first step might be respond to Jesus in faith, to accept the gift that He offers, maybe for the first time. For others of us, maybe now is a good time to consider joining the church as we re-engage in the annual Bible reading plan. We'll start that back up again in January. And this is a really easy way to re-engage in daily Bible reading. We read a couple of chapters a day, Monday through Friday. It takes about 10 to 15 minutes, and you get the weekends off. Maybe you need a day to catch up. You missed a day throughout the week, or you just need a couple days to rest. Or perhaps you missed joining a gospel community when we spun those back up. It's not too late. We can still get you plugged back in. Students, you can make sure to attend the Christmas parties that Carson mentioned, and make sure to invite friends. What a great way to invite people to be around other people of God that may not otherwise be comfortable. Whatever you decide is your best next step, we would love to take it with you. Just fill out the communication card. Let us know how we can be praying for you and how we can walk with you. So we find our purpose in God's pleasure and glory in Jesus, our great shepherd, by doing God's will through Jesus, who equips and works in us. And that's why we celebrate Jesus every week by taking communion, to remember what Jesus did for us by living the life we couldn't live and dying the death we deserved for us in our place. There are elements for communion at the end of your rows. There's a wafer in the top of the cup. We eat the wafer remembering Jesus' broken body on the cross for us and drink the juice that is representative of Jesus' blood poured out for us. Let's pray. God, thank you for Jesus, who is worthy of all glory and honor and praise. Father, I pray that we would know you more, or come to know you for the first time, maybe. For those of us that do not know you yet, Father, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds and draw us near to you. Help us, God, accept your gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. For those of us who are already in relationship with you, we are simply grateful. We are thankful that your mercies are new daily. We're thankful for your patience with us, for your provision, that you have called us to partner with you to accomplish your will, and that you would provide everything needed to do so. We are so thankful that you give our life's purpose, and pray that you would be pleased and glorified through your Son, Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen.